But this Mr. Kumari.
Kumari,
there we go. Thank you very much, and good morning to you.
Good morning to you. And may it please the court, my name is Vivian Kumari, and I am an assistant attorney general, and I am here on behalf of Appley in the matter. We're here on Brandon Dye's appeal of the Lancaster District Court's dismissal of his petition for writ of habeas corpus. Dye filed an appeal in the Court of Appeals, and this court in April, on its own motion, moved it to this docket, and that's why we're here right now. The brief I submitted focuses solely on the impropriety of Dye's petition and why it was proper for the district court to dismiss that petition. But in preparation for this oral argument, there are a couple issues that I believe are critical to the outcome of this case that I'd like to discuss with the court today, and the first being jurisdiction. As this court just heard, Dye has an appeal on his judgment of conviction. That appeal was filed in September of 2014. Now, Dye's petition for writ was filed 3 months later in December. And as this court is aware, a habeas corpus action is a collateral attack on a void judgment of conviction. So by the very nature of Dye's direct appeal, there really wasn't a judgment of conviction for the Lancaster District Court to consider. That conviction is still pending, and because of that, there really wasn't an avenue with regards to petition for writ to challenge that judgment. The petition for writ was simply premature. So based on the direct appeal, it's the state's position that the Lancaster District Court lacked jurisdiction over the petition because the relief sought by the petition could not be granted. I mean, for that reason, I think
because of the pendency of the appeal of the criminal case.
Yes, Your Honor. As I said, he filed his direct appeal prior to filing his petition for writ, and the direct
and
appeal
it was still pending.
And the appeal is still pending today. Yes, Your Honor.
Is the validity of the conviction at issue anywhere in any court?
In his direct appeal, Dye seeks a new trial. It's one of his requests in his direct appeal. Provided that was granted, the petition for it would clearly be premature because there would be no judgment to collaterally attack, whether it's void or valid. So I think for that reason, the Lancaster District Court lacked jurisdiction, and his appeal should be dismissed on those grounds. But if we consider and assume that the District Court had jurisdiction, I think the dismissal of it was proper. And more importantly, I think the process in which the district court underwent was proper. In May of this year, this court heard a case, O'Neill versus State, found at 290 Nebraska 943. And I highlight O'Neill more for the differences than the similarities. Although both cases, O'Neill and Dye, both courts were faced with petitions for writ, and both courts dismissed the petitions for writ. But in O'Neill, the court underwent a much more complex process to getting to the dismissal than Lancaster did. In O'Neill, the District Court of Douglas County was faced with a petition for writ and requested that the state get involved and respond to the petition. That created some kind of complexity in that the state requested that it be dismissed on jurisdictional grounds. This court disagreed with that but found that the dismissal was proper because the petition on its merits was frivolous. So in Lancaster, the district court was presented with a petition for writ and dismissed on its own motion, finding that it was frivolous. And in O'Neill, Justice Castle authored a concurring opinion that I think is very persuasive for the case before the court right now. Justice Castle articulated in his concurrence that he encourages trial courts to undergo a much more simpler procedure when presented with a petition for writ. That petition or that procedure is when, upon the presentation of a petition for writ, the trial court review it, determine if it states a cause of action, and if it does not, enter an order denying it. That is what the district court did here. Dye presented the court with a petition for writ in December of 2014. It reviewed it. It determined that it failed to state a cause of action, and that was based on the content of the petition. The petition deals solely with the alleged errors leading to the proceedings, or in the proceedings leading to his conviction, which this court clearly has held is not permissible on a habeas corpus action. Those inquiries are only available on a direct appeal. So Dye wasn't collaterally attacking his judgment of conviction. He was challenging certain errors in the proceedings leading to his conviction, such as insufficient evidence, improper jury instructions, and the like.
If you say that the court was correct in dismissing under 12b-6,
the court, the petition...
state of cause of action, does that imply then that the district court actually had jurisdiction over the petition for writ?
So, yeah, if we assume they had jurisdiction over the petition...
Well, did they have jurisdiction?
It's my position that they did not.
Okay, then that would end the discussion.
That should end the discussion. But because the court did entertain the petition and did enter an order dismissing it, finding it as frivolous, I think it's important to discuss that and note that they followed the very procedure that we encourage trial courts to follow.
Does the record, going back to your initial argument, that the petition in this case was premature due to the pendency of the appeal,
yes,
of the criminal case, does the record in this case reflect all of that?
So he did not indicate in his petition that he had a pending appeal. So the district court was operating under the assumption that it had jurisdiction over it. The district court didn't make note of another appeal that was pending, but I think it's important to discuss subject matter jurisdiction. If the court in fact lacked it, it should have never entertained it, and it should have dismissed it on those grounds.
And how do we do that?
Well,
on
you
the
can
record presented.
This court can dismiss the appeal and remand it to the district court to dismiss on jurisdictional grounds.
How do we learn in the record of this case that there is, in another pigeonhole, an appeal of a criminal case?
Can we take judicial notice?
Yes, you can take judicial notice of the other appeal which you just heard this morning. So, with that, appellee respectfully requests that this court either dismiss Dye's appeal, finding that there was no jurisdiction in the district court, or affirm the district court's decision, and more importantly, the process in which the district court underwent to get to the dismissal.
I'm a little puzzled about how the district court could have known that it lacked jurisdiction because of something that was completely extraneous to its record and with respect to which no one requested the court to take judicial notice.
That is a good, that's a valid concern, especially because Dye didn't include that in his petition, and the appeal was taking place in Hall County. The state never got involved in this case. As I indicated, the court, on its own motion, dismissed it, which I think was proper. So without judicial notice, there really was no way for the court to know that it lacked jurisdiction based solely on the petition and what was before the court.
And isn't it one of our fundamental principles that a trial court doesn't commit error in not ruling on something over which it was never presented an issue?
It is, Your Honor, but I think ultimately we want to get it right. And I think that if we dismiss the appeal on jurisdictional grounds, we get it right. And alternatively, I think if this court affirms the district court's decision, we get it right.
On the merits, the Lancaster court said, I've read the petition, and it's not the kind of thing you bring up in a habeas.
Yes, Your Honor.
Right?
The court.
And what was the substance of the petition in your view? What were the issues?
The petition inquired into the very things that Nebraska law does not allow one to inquire into on a petition for writ. It only dealt with the alleged errors in the proceedings leading to his conviction.
Such as
improper jury instructions.
Jury instructions, go ahead.
Insufficiency of evidence.
Evidence, right.
Dye alleged that Nebraska Revised Statute 29-2203 was unconstitutional, and that the application of it to his case was improper. And he also alleges ineffective counsel.
If he was bringing a writ of habeas corpus from a conviction, wouldn't the court have knowledge that he was convicted somewhere?
Yes, Your Honor, the court had...
Wouldn't the court have knowledge that maybe that conviction wasn't final pending an appeal? I mean, you have to... Is there any duty on the court to look to see where he was convicted and where he was sentenced? determine whether it had jurisdiction.
In the sense that we want the court to get it right, I would say there's a duty. That obviously didn't happen here, and the court was operating only on the knowledge that was presented before it per Dye's petition. With that, we respectfully request this court either dismiss the appeal or uphold the lower court's decision. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That takes us to the next case of the day, which is State v. Avery R. Tyler.